This morning, my message is easy. It's called laugh. And right at the start, there's a few things you got to know. First of all, I've stolen all my material. It's not my own. I don't know who I got it from. I just different things that I found along the way. So, okay. So if you go, oh, you got that from someone. So yeah, you're right. That's true. It's true. That's the way it is. I think one of the big things that probably annoys me the most about Christians, okay, is that they look too unhappy. Too many times they just don't laugh enough. So I just thought we needed to talk about laughing because some of you need to laugh more. Tell the person next to you, you need to laugh more. You know, God is the author of joy. God is the author, and God's okay with laughter. He created laughter. You know, laughter is really important. I grew up in a house full of laughter because my dad has a loud, loud laugh. I can remember watching him one day, watching Frank Spencer. Some mothers do have him. So how many people remember that? How many people got no idea what I'm talking about? Okay. Well, Google, go have a look. But I can remember watching my dad sitting on the seat laughing so much. And you know how you feel, I'd watch him and it looked like he'd just reached the pinnacle where he couldn't laugh anymore and the guy would do something more and he'd be falling off his chair. And we just ended up laughing at him, you know, which is, he was okay with, fortunately, he's secure. I think we need to laugh more. I'm just convinced laughter is something that is a response to life and is really, really important. You know, I think if there was more laughter in church, more people would come to church. Yeah. If we laugh more, if we were happier people, laughter really is the best medicine. It's good for a whole host of ailments that people have, especially in this day of age. So I thought I should start with the definition of laughter, because even that's funny itself. Here we go. Look, to express certain emotions, especially mirth, I don't know why they'd use the word mirth, or delight, by a series of spontaneous, usually unarticulated sounds, often accompanied by corresponding facial and bodily movements. Laughter is a funny thing. No pun intended. When you laugh, listen to this. This is quite funny. Our body performs rhythmic, vocalized, expiratory, involuntary actions. 15 facial muscles contract, and there is an electrical stimulation of the zygomatic major muscle. I bet you didn't know that. That muscle, that's the muscle that extends from the cheekbone down to the corners of the mouth. It raises the corner of the mouth when a person smiles. Currents of varying intensity, depending on how much you're laughing, produce a wide range of facial responses. The respiratory system is upset by the, I don't even know what this word means, epiglottis, half closing, so that the air intake occurs in irregular gasps rather than calm breaths. Under extreme circumstances, the tear ducts are activated. So that while the mouth is opening and closing, there is a struggle for sufficient amount of oxygen intake. The face becomes moist and often red. Noises often accompanying this odd behavior, ranging from controlled snickers, escaped chuckle, I don't even know what that word is either, spontaneous giggles, to ridiculous crackles, noisy hoots, and uproarious gaffes. Again, you see, isn't that funny? It's just full of words that you don't understand. I was reading through sort of the types of laughter, and I did must say that the snorting type of laughter has to be the funniest. Is there anybody here snorts when they... No, don't pretend. No. Laughter isn't... Sorry, did Victor point to you, Ruth? Right, be very careful what you do today, honestly. Otherwise, you might end up being the person everyone's laughing at. It's a tension dissolver. It's an antidote to anxiety. It's just like a tranquilizer, but it's without any side effects, and it's free, and you don't need a prescription. Laughter is life's shock absorber. If we want to have less stress in our lives, we need to learn to laugh at our circumstances. I mean, everybody else is laughing at you. You may as well join in. You know? We have got to find the fun in frustrating. Someone asked President Lincoln how he handled the stresses of the Civil War, and he said, if it hadn't been for laughter, I could not have made it. If you can laugh at it, you can live with it. Besides, if we learn to laugh at our problems, we'll never run out of good material. And some of you seem to have more things to laugh about than other people do. Life is fun, full of funny situations. Teresa Avila, a Spanish nun, she said, "She who laughs, lasts." Was my pronunciation good enough for you to get there? There we go. She used to look for novices who knew how to laugh, eat, and sleep. She believed that if they ate heartily, they were healthy. If they slept well, they were more likely free of serious sin. I thought that was an interesting observation. If you're not sleeping well, there could be something in there. And if they laughed, they had a necessary disposition to survive a difficult life. Isn't that fascinating? A Jewish proverb: what soap is to the body, laughter is to the soul. Mark Twain: laughter is the greatest weapon that we humans possess. It's the one we use the least. Abraham Lincoln said, if I do not laugh, I should die. Henry Ward Beecher said, mirth is God's medicine. Everybody ought to bathe in it. Milton Berle: laughter is an instant vacation. Alan Adler: when people are laughing, they are generally not killing each other. That's true, isn't it? Victor Borg said, laughter is the shortest distance between two people. Quincy Jones: I've always thought that a big laugh is a really loud noise from the soul saying, ain't that the truth? Unknown author: love makes the world go around, but laughter keeps us from getting dizzy. I thought that's very nice. Okay, so take my advice. Here's my advice. Inquire a sense of humor. Learn to laugh. It's relaxing and it's healing, and it's a buffer to all the stress that's in the world, the world throws at you. In fact, it's essential for life. If you can... We need laughter in all our relationships too, in our marriages. If we don't laugh, we're missing out on a ton of fun. And laughter is so important. And I put this, because I hear all these things all the time. Marriages that laugh together stay together. I just thought that was mine. I made that one up myself. So you need to laugh more. There is a few people already that haven't laughed while I'm talking here, and I'm looking at your face wondering, what's happened? Even if you just laugh at me because it's so stupid. That's why I think dad jokes are really important. Dad, you've got to do dad jokes, because even if they don't laugh at your jokes, they'll laugh at you. And the kids need to laugh. We need to laugh. Your house should be the funnest house in the neighborhood. When's the last time? We used to, as a kid, my dad used to play the rah game. And that was, he would run around the lounge on his all fours, roaring at us. And that was fun as kids. And we laughed. It was always being tickled. Tickling is a great thing because we need to laugh. Okay, we need to laugh. Families need to laugh. Laughing is with others is integral to having great friendships. It's part of your friendships. And some of us need to learn to laugh. How do you laugh? How do you develop a sense of humor? And I've just got a couple of things. Really simple message. Here's my first point for you. Look for laughter. You've got to go looking for laughter. In Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 4 says this: for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance. Psalm 126:3 says, "We were filled with laughter and we sang with joy. And the other nations said, 'What amazing things the Lord has done for them.'" Proverbs 15:15, "For the despondent, every day brings trouble. For the happy heart, life is a continual feast." Proverbs 15, oh, I've just said that other word. So look, it's okay, and I know this sounds really basic, but it's okay for Christians to laugh. Yeah. Jesus was criticized, I think, because he laughed so much. The religious people got ticked off with Jesus because he looked so happy. I mean, that's why they labeled him a drunk and a wino. Why was that? Because he was just clowning around, I think. He was just having fun. You know, they're telling him, you know, "You guys should fast and pray." And he's saying, "You know, no, while I'm here, we're going to have a wedding feast. It's going to be a party. It's going to be exciting. Life's going to be full." Jesus was so full of life, kids wanted to hang around. I'm sorry, but kids do not hang around with serious, grumpy people. They just walk away. If you look unhappy, they avoid you. They all go to the people that look happy and smiling and are having fun in life. So Jesus must have been having a lot of fun. And I reckon that's what got the religious people so ticked off, was that he was so free. He was so full of laughter. And unfortunately, all our pictures are of him looking very serious and looking very upset with everything. And it's just the wrong picture. Okay. When's the last time you looked at something that was happening in your life and started laughing about it? Laughter, joyfulness, singing and shouting are such a great witness. Being critical and grumpy aren't qualities that make people want to be like you. Do they? I mean, you really think about it. Being judgmental, critical, unhappy. Do you look at those people and go, "Oh man, I wish I had their life"? You don't. You look at them and you think, "What's wrong with them?" But you look at someone that's always laughing and you want to hang around them. You want to be around them. I started thinking of different people that I love being around. I love being around Don McDonnell because he's always quite funny. He's always making jokes. It makes me want to hang out with him because I just need that bit of laughing. And look, and the Upton twins, I'm going to shout out to you. You guys, they're always laughing. Even when it's serious, they're sometimes laughing. Now, there's a time to laugh and a time to cry. You've got to get the right times. It wasn't the right time for me to do a joke while we were doing the persecuted church. That's the wrong time. But you've also got to be able to laugh at things. And I think we should be laughing at more things in our lives. There's lots of things in our lives to laugh at. I started thinking about my life. What could I laugh at in my life? One of the funniest things, which wasn't really funny at the time, but when I look back, was one day I had the job in this church. This was a long time ago. And we had one of those big pulpits. And I got asked, I was sitting on the front row, and they wanted to move the pulpit away. And they said, "Alan, can you jump up on stage and pull get the pulpit and move it away?" So in my young youth, it was a good 30 years ago, I jumped up on the stage and began to move the pulpit, and my undies from the day before came out the bottom of my jeans on stage. And I'm going, "Oh, what do you do? What do you do?" So I quickly grabbed my undies and threw them in the back of the pulpit. And we just carried on over to here. I forgot about it. I forgot that. And poor old Eleanor, an old lady, came up to her at the end of the service. We've only just been married, a few months. "Eleanor, your husband has left a sock in the back of the pulpit. I think you should go get it." So I'm like, "Oh, okay." So she goes and pulls it out to find it's my undies, which she threw in the bin and that I missed to this day. You know? You got to laugh. There's things that happen every day that are funny. I thought about lots of stories in our family, and I thought some of them you can tell, but some of them, a lot of them you can't really tell because it will embarrass somebody else in the family or not me, and then I'll be in trouble. But one of them was when our oldest son, Caleb, was 5 years old. So that's a long time ago. And Eleanor's picking up Caleb from school. He picks him up and he jumps into the back of the car. He's 5 years old and he bursts into tears. "What's wrong?" Eleanor's good mum. She asks, "What's wrong?" "I had to go to the principal's office." "What for?" "For weeing in the garden." "What did the principal say?" "He said that I'm going to be on report." "I don't even know what report is." So the next day, I'm walking into school and I happen to see the principal. And I said, "Hi, how are you going? I hear you've had Eleanor's son in your in your office." You know, and he goes, "Yeah, look, sometimes I really love my job." He said, "I had these two little boys," because there was two of them, like there usually is, "in my office. And I said to Caleb, why'd you do it?" "Well, I was just running along and my pants came down and I had to go." Okay. The other boy, remember, this is a Christian school. "Why'd you do it?" "The devil made me do it." What a good answer, eh? That's the good answer for being at a Christian school. It's the devil's fault. So here's what I do. I really do feel you've got to learn to laugh. You've got to look for things to laugh for. You've got to look at them and go, "What could I laugh at?" You've got to look at your day and say, "What can I laugh at in my day?" Look, hang around people that laugh. Hang around them. It's good for you to be around people that laugh. Laughter lifts our spirits and helps our marriage. It helps our marriage. And one of the things we like to do is watch comedy. Some comedy Eleanor likes, I don't like, but some comedy we enjoy. And just laughing together and looking at things is very good for our souls. So you've got to go out there and say, hang out with people who laugh. Now, some of you, and look, just decide whether you take this or not, people don't hang around you because you're too unhappy. You're too grumpy. You're too intense. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Laugh with your kids. I think that's what I love about kids. They laugh. You should be laughing. Laughing is good for you. I like being around my staff that laugh. Some of them are funnier than others. Find things that are funny. Look, social media, for all its negatives, why don't you go looking for all the funny things? It would just do you a world of good to look at some funny things. Watch cartoons. Some of you do, you know, you watch too much news. Oh, forget the news. Go watch a cartoon or something like that. Watch comedy shows. And now, okay, let's make sure they're clean, you know, but watch a good movie. I don't know how many times I've seen Happy Gilmore, which does have some weird bits in it, but I've watched that. I could still go home and watch that today, and I'd enjoy that. We need a laugh. Watch something that makes you laugh. Go watch Mr. Bean. Go watch Frank Spencer. Some of you don't even know who he is. Wear props. I thought I should wear my prop that I often wear at home. Really, it's just to make people laugh and think that I look like a criminal. I wear my beanie. I don't know why, but it makes me look like a naughty criminal person, so we'll take that off. But maybe you should wear something around your home just to lighten things up and to laugh more. Share jokes. Shall I tell you a joke? I've got three, okay? Rate them. No, don't rate them. I don't care what you think of them. I actually thought they were quite good. I did delete a lot, and I did find a lot of the jokes that they suggested weren't funny, which is always weird. Okay, a woman accompanied her husband to the doctor's office. After the checkup, the doctor took the wife aside and said to him, "Look, if you don't do the following things, your husband is going to die." And she went, "Ooh, okay. So what are those things?" "Four things," he said. "Each morning, number one, fix him a healthy breakfast and send him off to work in a good mood." She goes, "Oh, okay." "Two, at lunchtime, make him a warm, nutritious meal and put him in a good frame of mind before he goes back to work." Oh, okay. Three, for dinner, fix him an especially nice meal and don't burden him with household chores. Four, satisfy his every whim. On the way home, they're driving home, and the husband asked the wife, what did the doctor say? What did he talk to you about? And she said, you're going to die. A man placed some flowers on the grave of his dearly departed mother and started back towards his car when his attention was diverted to another man kneeling at a grave. The man seemed to be praying with profound intensity and kept repeating, why did you have to die? Why did you have to die? The first man approached him and said, sir, I don't wish to interfere with your private grief, but this demonstration of pain is more than I've ever seen before. For whom do you mourn so deeply? A child? A parent? The mourner looked and took a moment to collect himself and said, my first wife's husband. Sorry. You see, one of the problems with telling things and being funny is that someone's going to get upset. And can I tell you, that says more about you than it does about us. You know, sometimes we've just got to stop taking ourselves so seriously and just relax. See, if you get offended at everything, I think that becomes your platform on everything on life. And I think we should be hard to offend. Yeah, some things you just got to go, oh, that's not appropriate, but move on. Don't grab a hold of it and start going, I'm going to get campaign against this. Be someone that is full of laughter. I thought I'd just tell you this one here. It's about a Baptist preacher. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk. I'll apologize to Scott across the road this week when I see him. Anyhow, a Baptist preacher and his wife decided to get a new dog. Ever mindful of the congregation, they knew that their dog must also be Baptist. They visited a kennel after kennel and explained their needs. Finally, they found a kennel whose owner assured them that he had the dog, just the sort of dog that they wanted. The owner brought the dog to meet the pastor and his wife. Fetch the Bible, he commanded. The dog bounded to the bookshelf, scrutinized the books, located a Bible, and brought it to the owner. Now find Psalm 23, he commanded. The dog dropped the Bible to the floor and showing marvelous dexterity with his paws and that, he leaped through finding the correct passage and pointed to it with his paw. The pastor and wife were very impressed and they purchased the dog. That evening, a group of church members came to visit. The pastor and his wife began to show off the dog, having him locate several Bible verses. The visitors were really impressed. One man asked, can he do any regular dog tricks? He goes, oh, I haven't tried that. So he pointed at the dog and said, heel! The dog immediately jumped on a chair and placed one paw on the pastor's forehead and began to howl. The pastor and his wife looked in shock. Good Lord, he's a Pentecostal. So number one, look for laughter. Number two, take a daily dose of laughter. Look, Proverbs 15:3 says, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Good news makes for good health. Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine. A relaxed attitude lengthens a person's life. Proverbs 14:30. Do you know a child laughs 400 times a day on average, while an adult laughs only 15 times each day? And Jesus said, we need to be more like children. Eleanor quoted that this morning. We need to laugh more. Norman Cousins used to say that laughter is so beneficial for your body that it's like inner jogging. He healed himself of a major chronic disease with laughter therapy. And there's definitely laughter therapy, and for a lot of cancer treatment now, they look at laughter therapy. And a clinic reported, they did some tests, some studies. They reported that laughter aids breathing by disrupting your normal respiratory pattern and increases your breathing rate. It can even help clear mucus from your lungs. That was great. You wanted to hear that. Hearty laughter is cardioprotective. It's good for your heart. It increases circulation, improves delivery of oxygen and nutrients to tissues in your body. Psychoneuroimmunology. Boy, they have some big words, don't they? The study of the interaction between possesses. That in the nervous system and... And it's proved that, here we go, let me just go there. Laughter stimulates your immune system to fight disease. Laughter helps fight illness by making invading bacteria and viruses for destruction. So it helps you in your immunity laughing. Laughter decreases stress hormone levels. It's also good for allergies. And it helps control pain by raising the levels of our brain's natural endorphins, which are 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine. It's God's prescription drug. Laughter helps relieve stress by causing a release of these natural painkillers in the body. When we laugh out loud, endorphins and adrenaline are released, which result in a natural high, making you feel good about yourself. It's a natural stress reliever. Have you ever laughed so hard that you've doubled over, fell off a chair? Don't comment yet, because spit out your food or wet your pants. We don't want to know if you have. You can't maintain muscle tension while you're laughing. It's incredible. A Norwegian university reported that a good sense of humor cuts one's chances of death by 70% compared with adults with a poor sense of humor. It's been proven people who laugh live longer. There's a definite connection between a cheerful outlook and longevity. A study in a hospital in Japan, I'm not going to even try the name because then you'll just laugh at me, revealed that if you want to live longer, you need to laugh more. The study showed that laughter, human happiness play key roles in good health and longevity and reduce stress instances of high blood pressure, flu, heart disease, arthritis, and diabetes. Laughter is also important psychologically. It affects our marriage partners, co-workers, friends too. Humor also helps improving our creativity and our memory. And here's what's amazing. The Bible said that right from the beginning. Proverbs 15:30. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Good news makes good health. A cheerful heart is good medicine. So we need to laugh more. We need to laugh more. And, you need to just go look for things to laugh daily. I thought I'm going to be really smart and I'll go to Google and find funny pictures. Pictures make you laugh. And I looked at all these pictures and I thought, they're not very funny at all. They weren't very good. And I thought, maybe I should just go through all my photos and see what I can find in my photos that were funny. And so I did. I found some photos. Well, one photo, I think you've got my photos. I don't know if you can see it. I thought that was funny because that was only a couple of years ago. Next one. I thought they were funny. See, what's the next one? Okay. I did ask permission. I just thought it was funny that Jared had a goat. And I did have a picture of Rachel and Jared with a goat each, and they take their goats for a walk, I'm told. But I thought I shouldn't put Rachel up there. So, and if Rachel, you're watching online, aren't I good? So Jared with a goat, I do think that's quite funny. They've got two goats. I just thought Victor and Ruth looked funny. I mean, Ruth looks good. Victor looks... And Rocky, I did ask, okay, just before you get upset, I asked Rocky, and he said, of course. So this is Rocky when they did the C3 helping church planting thing. They had exercises in the morning, and this is Rocky doing his exercise. Now the next one, look, it has got a bit of a nudity in it, but it's probably one of my favourite, and it's only possibly because I know who it is that makes me laugh. But the last one is Nathaniel doing dancing. It was one of the funniest things. But there is a bit of nudity there, so we better move it on. Sorry if you're upset. Laughter makes you feel better. It just makes you feel better. And I think some... Okay, you can take that away now. Psalm 2:4 says, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. You know, I just think some of our concepts and our pictures of Jesus, we're just too intense. We need to laugh more. And God laughs. Jesus laughed. And let me just read you this. I thought this was well written. Yes, Jesus smiled. Yes, Jesus laughed. Jesus has smiled wider and laughed harder than any human being who ever walked on the planet. He was young. He radiated good cheer. Jesus was a man of merriment, such of gladness of heart, such freedom and openness. You see, part of the reason sometimes we don't laugh is because we're carrying so much sin and rubbish. He proved irresistible. He became known throughout Galilee for his genuine strength and the sparkle in his eyes, the spring in his step, the heartiness of his laugh, the genuineness of his touch, his passion, playfulness, excitement, and vitality, his joy. You know, I mean, it's not really joy if it hasn't reached your face. You know, if you go, oh, I've got deep joy. Yeah, right. It's not really. You know, if you're really full of joy and you're free, then you're good at laughing. Now, I know some things aren't always funny, and we've got a variety of sense of humours. You know, what I find funny now, I know my kids don't find funny, but I don't care. One of the things that happens in our household is I forget the words of songs, so I just make them up. And that really annoys everybody, but that's what I do so that I can sing the song, because it's more about singing the song, and my words are better anyway than their words. Jesus was witty. And you know, I think we miss some of the scriptures that you know, about his life that were actually being quite funny, really. You know, I think he would have just... some of these things that he answered the Pharisees were actually quite funny in their concept. They were quite extreme. And they just made... I'm convinced that the reason the Pharisees got so upset with Jesus is because he looked like he was enjoying life. He looked free and he was so full of life that they just wanted to kill it. They just wanted to get rid of it. And I thought, man, we've not helped ourselves as Christians because, you know, we become a little bit like the disciples that rebuked the children to come to Jesus. Why did they do that? Oh, well, he's laughing too much. But he's going, no, that's what life's all about. And I know about you, I think of heaven, I think of the freedom of it, we're going to laugh. We're going to laugh more. We all need to laugh more. The root of Jesus' laughter was his deep joy. Jesus is the giver of joy. He gives us joy. We should be happy with life. You know, probably the best picture I can see of Jesus, and again, you start thinking about, say, Luke 7, where Jesus has just healed a blind person, and they're all walking together as a crowd. You've got to be going, that would have been one of the most fantastic times. It would have been exciting. Here's a person who's never seen before looking at the world. I was talking to somebody recently, this week, and they just mentioned about a person, they were doing a meeting and a person got healed of blindness, and he said, I lost the meeting for 2 hours because this person just couldn't stop running around excited about being able to see. You know, you just imagine how exciting it would be with Jesus. And you know, the best picture is in Luke 7 where Jesus and they enter a town and here's a crowd full of people. You know, there's people there that, you know, they've been lame. So they've probably been stuck in Jerusalem or stuck in their city. Now they're running along with Jesus, looking at the countryside that they haven't got out to see for years. And it's got Jesus coming in with all his disciples, and he comes across a funeral. Well, what happens when life meets death? You know, there's this funeral, this poor woman with her son who's died. They're walking her along. And he changes the situation by raising the son from the dead. That would have turned that'd turn a great funeral, wouldn't it? You know, that would make it an exciting funeral. Whoa, this, you know, come here. There would have been full of life. You and I need to carry that life with us. That life is a living spring that changes the atmosphere around people's life. Musicians, if you want to come. So let's look for laughter and let's laugh every day. Let us be Christians that are the happiest people on the earth. Ask the person next to you, are you the happiest person on earth? Ask yourself, do I need to laugh more? So here's your homework. Every day, I want you to try and tell a joke to someone. How many people are good at telling jokes? How many people are not very good at telling jokes? Okay, so you've got a chance to, you know, sometimes you've got to be secure enough to let go of what you think people think about you and go, man, I need to let things go. Listen, this morning, if you don't know Jesus, and I hope you haven't thought that Christians are all unhappy, because to be honest, we should be, and for a lot of us, we are the happiest because we're free from our sin. And that means we're not carrying a burden. Without us sometimes realizing, sin is a burden on our life and it weighs us down. And when we come to Jesus, he takes away that sin and he sets us free. Just think of the picture of being free. If you've been in prison and you're set free, it's a wonderful experience. Unfortunately, sin imprisons us and sin separates us from God. God is the giver of joy. God is the giver of life and life everlasting. And so we need to be connected with God to really enjoy life, to live the life that is refreshing and fulfilling. It's through a relationship with God. It's through asking God to come into your life and forgive you of your sins. And through that, you suddenly connect with God and you connect and get life in you. And it's a spring of living water. And so if you don't know Jesus this morning, I'd love to, we're going to pray a prayer in a moment. I'd love you to pray it, asking him to come into your life, asking him to forgive you of sin. It's a step in a journey. It's like any relationship. It starts with an introduction of asking him to come into your life. It's asking him to forgive you for your sin and to come and to become a part of your life. And it's a great, it's just an important step and it's life changing. So why don't we all close our eyes? Maybe just if you just repeat this prayer, simple prayer after me. Dear God, in fact, we're all going to do it. It's a great prayer to do. Dear God, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you created me. I thank you that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sin. Please forgive me for all the wrong things I've done. Please come into my life. Please be the boss of my life. Be the Lord of my life. Help me, Lord, to live for you, to live free, to live full of life like you did. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me pray for you. Dear Lord, I pray for each person here. Lord, I pray for every one of us that we would have that freedom of life flowing out of us. Lord, help us to laugh more. Help us, Lord, to look for the things that are causing us not to laugh and, Lord, to give them to you. Lord, I pray you'd take away the burdens. Father, anybody carrying a burden today, Father, I pray that you would release them of that burden. Those that need fresh health, Father, Lord, the things that are happening to their health, Lord, I pray you just heal them, I pray. And Lord, help us to live a life that glorifies you, that exalts you, that makes people want to know you, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you.